Amen. I'm glad I'm here.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks God.
Glory to God.
I was supposed to be in the hospital right now, and I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
Hospital. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. I want to share, if you'll take your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 8. I just want to share a few thoughts. I've been reading a little bit about Philip, this passage. And I just want to bring out a few points. We refer to Philip as Philip the Evangelist. And I just want to bring out some points. I believe it's God's working in our church and it's working in our lives. That God wants us to reach out. And He wants us to reach to the lost. I believe that, I just don't believe that people are going to just drop in. I believe God will draw people. I believe that will happen. But I believe that we're going to have to be a type of evangelist and stuff on our jobs and everything that we do. Amen. People we come in contact with.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to share a few points this afternoon. I don't have a lot of strength of you. Just bear with me. God will see us through it and help us this afternoon. Acts chapter 8, verse 26.
Amen.
And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in the chariot, ready Isaiah the prophet. And when the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And Philip was found at Azotza, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Say amen to God's word.
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated.
Hallelujah.
Just want to share some thoughts about Philip here. Today, a lot of times we think of evangelists as men that go around and preach revivals at different churches, conduct revivals, or may preach tent meetings or camp meetings and different things. But I believe that all of us are evangelists in the sense of taking God's word forth. We may not preach behind the pulpit and share in revivals, but I believe we have the duty to go forth and carry the gospel message. I see a lot of evangelists today that, and just my thinking, and this is just my thinking on this. I don't have any gospel scripture that I can point to and say this way it's got to be done. But I see a lot of evangelists that, especially the young ones that are trying to get started, a lot of them are going out to camp meetings and revivals. Sole purpose of it is just to try to book a revival for themselves. And nothing wrong with going to camp meetings. I go to them, you go to them, and revival and stuff. But my purpose is not to go so somebody can book me for a revival. And if somebody was to, if I went and somebody was, say, can you come preach for me? That's nothing wrong with that either. But my intention is not to go there so I can book a place to preach. I believe in evangelists, or ones that call themselves evangelists, I believe that they should be based out of a home church. I believe they should have a home church that they work in, that they labor in, and then that home church can help support them, and so be it, and back them up. And I believe that person needs to work in that church. And then when God opens doors for them to go minister some other places, give God the glory and thank Him for it. Amen. But I believe that, this is my concept, I believe they kind of got it backwards. They're like lone wolves out there, and you need to be part of a church. You need to be part, and you need to work in that church, labor in that church, be in the services as much as you can. We find Philip, he was just an ordinary man. If you keep your Bibles, and if you'll go back a couple chapters, you can find in Acts chapter 6 that there arose a problem with the labor in the church and the funds of the church. The disciples were so busy with prayer and seeking God that they were not able to serve the tables properly. They were not able to take care of the widows like need to be. So they choose some men that would be a part of this. And here we can find Philip in verse 5 of chapter 6, that he was one of those that was chosen. We find also Stephen was a man that was chosen to wait on tables, if I could put it that way. But he was also a man that was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip, the Bible says. So I believe all these men were men full of the Spirit of God and of power. And I believe that they was not belittled because they had to take care of the finances and the things of the church, the material things of the church. Somebody has to do that. All 120 or how many was in the upper room cannot stand behind the pulpit and share the Word of God. There's other things that all have to be done, and we all have to do our part. But you can still be used by God. You don't have to be a man that stands behind the pulpit for God to use you. These were men that was full of the Holy Ghost and of power, and God used them. We find Stephen, how God used him in a mighty way. In verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. This is a deacon. This is a man who waits on tables, and God used him in a mighty way. He was a man full of faith. We got a lot of men in the pulpits not even full of faith, amen? And they want to lead them to some other way to get help and deliverance. But here, this is a man waiting on tables, laboring in the church, and he was full of faith and of power and did great wonders and miracles among the people, amen? Among the people. So here you can be one that labors in the church, sit in the congregation, and God can use you to do great and mighty things among the people, amen? These were these type of men, amen? Everybody's searching for a pulpit, amen? And you don't have to have a pulpit for God to use you, amen? Be a man of faith, amen? Be a man of power, and let God use you in this way, amen? So we find here Stephen, and I'm sure you are familiar with the story, how there was much persecution going on in the church. Stephen was a man, he preached the gospel. He was a man that was willing to stand up and share the word of the Lord, even though he was a deacon, even though he's a man that waited on tables. He knew the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament word of God, and he shared the word of God. And you go on down in the scriptures, and you'll find it costed him his life. They took Stephen out. He preached the word, shared the word of the Lord with them in such a mighty way that it made them angry. They drag him out, and they stone him to death. And he is there, and the presence of the Lord is with him, even all the way up to his death. He sees the glory of the Lord. And we find it here. You say, well, that was such a short life for Stephen. You know, God didn't use him very much. And maybe God only used him this one time. We don't know the whole story. But when you read, you can go into the scriptures and you can look in Acts chapter 8. There was a man by the name of Saul that was consenting unto Stephen's death. It was watching this man of God die. He was watching him being willing to share the word of the Lord, when men were so angry that they was wanting to gnash him with their teeth, that they dragged him out of the street, they were going to They stoned him. And here this man, Saul, is watching all this go on. And we know the story later on. How the Lord visited Saul on the road to Damascus and how he was converted and gave his life. And now we have all this scripture, all these letters that he wrote to the different churches. And I believe that the death of Stephen had something to do with that. That helped bring this man Saul, who was changed to now as we know as Paul. And God used Stephen. It might have been a short period of time, but for years later, for hundreds and hundreds of years later, we're still gleaning from the writings of Paul. Amen? So now we find Stephen's passed away. We find also Philip now. He comes and God uses Philip also in a mighty way. And we read the scripture in chapter 8, verse 26, where Philip now, the Lord speaks to Philip and he is willing to labor for the Lord. And I want to glean out these next few verses, just a few points I believe would help us. I just want to encourage you this afternoon to be willing to have the mindset that Philip had in reaching the lost and your neighbors or whoever it may be, that you would maybe have this same mindset that Philip had. We find in verse 26 that the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to Philip. Now again, that lets me know that he was a man of God. He is full of the Spirit. The angel of the Lord just don't come and speak to anybody. Amen. He comes and he speaks to Philip. And he gives Philip some instructions, and he says, "Rise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem." Here we find it. When the angel of the Lord comes and he speaks to Philip, he tells him to arise and go towards. Philip had to have that desire first to go. He had to have the desire to go. Angel tells him, you go towards. And he tells him exactly where to go. You're never going to reach anybody if you don't have the desire to go. You're going to have it in here first. I can get up here and I can preach and I can poke and I can do everything I can. Pastor Woods can too. And if you don't have that desire in here, you're not going to go. You're just going to wait until the message is over and you're just going to go right back to what you've been doing. And here the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to Philip because I believe he has a desire. I'll go. I'm willing to go. And Philip goes towards. He gets the instruction and he tells him to go to a place down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Which is desert. Now every minister and every evangelist who stands in the pulpit, he likes to get up and he likes to preach to a full house. He likes to preach to a big congregation, especially men and women that are holding the standards, filled with the Spirit, and are in there worshiping with you, maybe a camp meeting setting where everybody's excited. Now, every minister likes to get up there and preach, you know, and everybody's in there amening them and just, you know, everything's flowing good. But a lot of times, you know, that's not always the case. A lot of times you have to go to those places and you have to preach, whereas there's just maybe a handful of people and they're half asleep, you know, amen. And you just have to, try to pull the wagon up yourself and you have to do everything you can. Or maybe God will send that preacher to a place that opens the door. It's a worldly church and it's just tough. I mean, he's going to go in there, he's going to preach his heart out, and they're just going to stare him down the whole service, and it's tough. Well, Philip didn't go to some gravy place. The Bible tells him he had the angel of the Lord sent him to the desert. A hot and dry place. Amen. And sent him there. And Philip knew what that place was like when the angel of the Lord told him where to go. But he went. He went. And he said, what's that got to do with us lay people? Well, you know, it's easy to go to that person and witness to them if they're already attending church. If they already, you know, have some standards, you know. It's easy to go to that person and tell them about God and the good things of God. But when God sends you to that desert home, that place that doesn't live for God at all, it's full of filth and the things of this world and ungodliness, and God sends you, and it might just be your neighbor that's like this, righteous, and that God sends you to that person, you know, that person who has the long hair, and that person who's tattooed up, or that person, you know, you hear going down the road, and they got their boombox going in their trunk, or wherever it's at, and you know, and that kind of person, you know, that's like going to the desert place. It's going to be tough. But you're going to have to be willing to go, amen? And Philip was willing to go. He didn't know what he was going to get into. All he knew was God was sending him to this desert place. And I know some of you are from the desert of California and stuff. And I have no offense, but I have never seen anything that pretty in the desert to me. I like green. I like things green. And no offense against our coddle, brother and sister coddles and him that have lived out there. But I like things green and grass and things like that. Amen. And some variations in temperatures and things like that. Not always, and maybe hot and dry and things along this line. But God sends them to this kind of place, a desert. Amen. And where we can look at that is God may send you to someone who is spiritually dry. Spiritually hard. Spiritually tough. And God wants you to go and do something for that person. Try to witness that person. And God may lay that person on your heart to go. And it's going to be tough. I see these people who stretch their earlobes and put those holes in their ears. And that to me is the hardest thing to look at. I don't believe I have a weak stomach. I can't hardly stomach it to look at him. It just makes me nauseous. I seen one man the other day. I mean, he had big enough ones you could put silver dollars through him easily. And it's just, it makes your stomach. But these are the desert places. This is the dry places that God would come. And if they get saved, those holes ain't going to grow back, far as I know. They're going to stay like that. And I'll just ask God to help me. That's all I can say, God. Help me be able to look these people in the face and not get sick. Amen. And but these are the people, I believe. God told us many times He's going to give us a harvest. I don't think that harvest is going to come from another church. From another religious crowd. Now if people come because they're dried up where they're at, so be it. And we will not run nobody away. No, sir. If they're spiritually hungry and they're not getting it where they're at, then praise God, come. We'll do our best to give you the living water, amen? So you're not thirsty. But that's not the only harvest I believe God wants us to get, church. And I believe that's not the only harvest God's going to send to us. I saw a thing, I can't remember if it was news or something, I don't remember. And they gave a statistic about tattoos. And they said it, 20 years ago, only about 20% of the population had tattoos. And now, it's over 50% of people have tattoos. And they're covered with them. They're not just on their arms and stuff where you may not see them normally. They're covered with them from head to toe. And a lot of people are having problems now getting jobs because a lot of people are not even hiring these kind of people. Not even hiring them. And I was one thing glad about that I was read about or was told about. McDonald's doesn't have no standards. They'll hire anybody. They come in and no matter how tattooed or pierced they are. But I was told by an employee at McDonald's that they tried to get a job at Sheetz and they couldn't get one because they had a tattoo that was visible. Praise God. I'm not being hard, but that's, you know, think about what you're doing before you do it. Amen. Praise God. But anyhow, there's a lot of your police departments and things will not hire you also if you have these that are visible. And that's fine. You're representing. You're representing that company you're working for. You're representing that city, that town that you are working for. Amen. I got off a little rabbit trail there. Let me get back here to the word of the Lord. Amen. So he is sent to a desert place. Amen. Notice in verse 27. What's Philip do when he gets his, if I could put it this way, when he got his marching orders? He went. Verse 27, he rose and he went. He didn't sit there and think about it. Had to run it through his mind. God, you're sending. I know what this territory is like. It's a place of desert, and I know what's down there, and you're going to send me to it. Let's rationalize this a little bit. Let's think about this a little bit. And see what happens a lot of times. God may lead somebody on your heart to witness to, or to just go and help. Go, whatever, send them a plate of food or whatever it may be. And God may tell you to do this, and we start rationalizing things in our mind. They're not going to get saved. They're not going to appreciate it. It's not going to help them none. And we run these things through our mind, and really what we are doing is we're telling God, God, you missed it. But God hasn't missed it. God tells us to do it. God knows exactly what He is doing. And He sends us to do that. Don't stop. The longer you sit there and think about it, the less likely you're going to go on and do it. The devil will talk you right out of it the longer you sit there and think about it. So Philip, as soon as he gets his marching orders, the Scripture says that he rises up, he rose, and he went. And he gets there and he puts his plan into action. As soon as he gets there, beholds, he sees a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. And the Scripture describes this man and who he is. And what happens with Philip, as soon as he gets there, he doesn't waste no time. He doesn't waste no time. Notice down in verse 30, the Scripture tells us when Philip lays eyes on this man, when he beholds him, verse 27, then in verse 30, the Bible says, Philip ran to him. Philip ran to him. Philip beholds this man. God sent him there. He gets his marching orders. He goes. He knows this is where God wants him to go. He sees this man. He doesn't think about his color of his skin. He doesn't think about how rich or poor he is. The Bible says that Philip ran to him. Amen. I'm telling you, we cannot waste time. Philip did not waste his time. He had an opportunity. As the brother spoke this morning, Philip had this one opportunity to go and speak to this man. This man was on a chariot. He was running. He was on his way through. If you, Philip, would have not thought about it, would have said, I'll do it tomorrow or some other time, this man would have been gone. Would have been gone. And Philip would not have the opportunity to witness or share the word of the Lord with this man. But he sees the opportunity, he wastes no time, and he goes and he runs to this man, and he's ready for the challenge that is ahead of him. The Bible says that Philip ran to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He was ready. Philip was ready for the challenge that was ahead of him. Philip was at the place, spiritually and of the knowledge of God's Word, that he was able to respond to the situation that the eunuch was in. He's riding in his chariot, and he's reading the Scriptures. And you know the passage. And Philip hears him reading this, and he goes, and he is able to share with him what he is reading. He's able to expound on it. And this man has some questions about this passage that he is reading on. Here we find today, I believe, a lot of problems why we struggle with witnessing is because we're not confident and don't have the knowledge of the Word of God enough that whatever person we're going to face, we can share the Scriptures with them and tell them, this is what you need to do. This will help you. This is the direction you need to go. We all have that knowledge. Philip heard while he was reading, he was able to expound on it. We see people in situations and what do we do about it? Let me call an elder. Let me call a Sunday school teacher. Let me call somebody. No, opportunity's gone if you have to do that. Who are people that we need to know what we live and why we live it. And we need to be able to expand it and explain it to people. You don't have to be in no great theologian discussion, but you need to know why you believe this. Why are you free from sin? Why? How did this man called Jesus die and it sets you free from sin? How'd that happen? How's that work? You need to have this knowledge. Be able to explain. Yes, I used to be in your situation, but God delivered me. Well, how did that happen? Did He just snap a finger and it took place? No, you need to know. You need to be able to explain to it. So Philip doesn't waste any time. He's ready for the challenge that is there before him. He goes, he explains the Scripture to him, and then in verse 35, we find that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip takes the situation, and that's where he starts. He didn't go to some other passage, some other place, some other thing. This man is reading this passage, and this is where Philip starts with the situation. We have to be able to do the same thing. If a person's bound by drugs or whatever it may be, you need to be able to explain. You need to start. That is your starting point. God can deliver you from this. God can set you free. If that person's never smoked or drank in his life, then you don't need to go explain how God can deliver you from alcohol if he ain't never drank before. But maybe he's bound by adultery and fornication and these things. You need to be able to tell God or this person, this is what God can do for you. This is wrong, and God can deliver you from that. You got to start with the situation. Amen?
That's right.
Praise God. It's easy to get up and preach to a holiness crowd and preach on holiness standards when everybody is dressed properly. But you get that same crowd and you go to them, you start preaching on the heart and things that is not seen, and you got some problems. Amen? You ever notice when excuse me, you go to preach or maybe you haven't gone to preach, but you go and preach something and you start bearing down a little bit, and then everybody wants to find your fault. Amen? They're going to start finding the preacher's fault. Well, he's got this problem. He's got that problem. Amen? All those have done that sometime or another. Amen? And don't dare preach on training up a child, they'll find every fault in your child. Amen? Praise God. It's wrong. Amen? I had a man who went to a church and that we knew in Florida. And he went back there in the Sunday school room, was going to spend some time in prayer and stuff. And they had these Christian, they call them Christian, but you know what I'm talking about, these rock things, posters hanging all over the Sunday school room of the church. Or of the Sunday school room. And he's back there and he walks in the room and he sees all this. Well, I know what to preach about tonight. He started right where they needed it. Amen? You say, well, that's wrong. You know, God didn't tell him to preach on that. Well, it was obvious that's what they needed. Amen? Philip didn't need a word from God. Philip runs up to this man. He's reading this passage. Doesn't understand. So Philip starts with that and explains who this man, who Isaiah is talking about. It's Jesus Christ that died for your sins. He's going to die for your sins. Amen? Or has died for your sins. Praise God. I'll get it right. Amen. I think chemo's burnt a few brain cells, but we're going to make it. Amen? Praise God. You bear with me. Amen? Here we find, though, that's the problem. When you go to someone and you see the problem, that's where you need to start. Amen. That's where you got to start. You don't have to have a word from God. God, what do I say? What do I say? If that's the problem, that's the starting point. Amen. Praise God. Glory to His name. So He starts with the people at their problem. Also, Philip has one message. He has one message. And that was Jesus Christ. As it says right there in the end of verse 35, and he preached unto him Jesus. You know what the problem is, and you point them to the one that's going to solve it, Jesus. And that's what Philip did. Amen. See the problem. Know what the solution is. It's Jesus Christ. Every problem, Jesus Christ is the solution. When you see the problem, you automatically know the answer. Amen. How will Jesus do it though? Amen. You need to be able to explain that to them. Amen. So Philip sees the problem. He shares Jesus Christ. He expounds on the Scripture in verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. He's talking about, if you're reading verse 32nd, the eunuch wanted to be baptized. Amen. Praise God.
Yes, amen.
Hey, we'll have to wait till we get some more people, or we can't do it right now. Right here, the eunuch says, here's some water. Can I be baptized? And Philip's responding, if you believe with all your hearts, if you're saved, if you give yourself to Jesus Christ, there's no reason why you cannot be baptized. Amen. And that's what we got to do. Someone gets saved, we got to go on. We got to get that person baptized. We got to get that person sanctified. We got to get, I say us, but we need to point them in that direction. Amen. Of sanctification, of being filled with the Holy Ghost. We want to put it off, and we want to put it off and hope they'll get it next year. Or we'll do this later when we have more people. No. If they get saved and they have fruits of repentance, get some water and let's baptize them. Amen. Praise God. Let's get this person going in the right direction. And let's keep pushing them. Amen. Here's a man that's hungry. He wants to be baptized. And he says, no, I have to get Apostle Paul or Peter down here to do this. No, if you truly believe, we can baptize you. Amen. Praise God. So and he expounds the Scripture. He wants to be baptized. He goes forward with it, church. He goes forward with it. Amen. I believe we lose a lot of people because we don't keep pushing them forwards. If we let them get idle, Satan will take over. Satan will take over. But it's going to take work. Not just from elders, but the entire congregation. Amen. To encourage that person. Keep that person going. Keep that person coming to church. Keep that person seeking God. Keep that person in the altar. Amen. So they get mature in the Lord. Amen. And they can lead others. Praise God. So, he expounds the Scripture to them. And then down in verse 40, Philip didn't say, well, my work's done. I've done what you told me, God. Philip goes on. Amen. He goes on. And he keeps preaching. And he goes in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Philip kept on going. Amen.
Right.
Praise God. We got to keep on going.
Yes, we do.
And not everybody's going to receive it. Not everybody's going to want it. I understand that. But the message has to keep going forth.
Yes,
amen. And Philip did this. Even though he won this man and explained the Scripture to him and he was baptized. Philip still went forth, though.
Yeah.
He didn't just mark some notch in his spiritual pistol and say, I got one. He went somewhere else and he preached. And he kept sharing the gospel. Amen. I want to. I appreciate you. I know a lot of us are tired. Just give me a few more minutes. The devil's got a pocket full of excuses for us. Every one of us, the devil can make up an excuse that fits you just like a glove. Amen. And he'll even put it on for you if you let him. And I want us to just flip through the Scriptures real quick. And I haven't got up here to share these things, just to say I taught a little bit and we go home this afternoon. Praise God. God promised a harvest, and it's just not going to fall in this church, amen. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to do something. And we can't just keep giving out excuses. You may not be giving out excuses, but we just can't do that. And if you'll go with me in several passages, I'm going to flip through the Old Testament here and a little bit in the New Testament. Just some men that had excuses. And God didn't tolerate their excuses. Amen? Go in Exodus. We know the excuse that Moses gave. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Everybody still okay? Everybody alive? Amen. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not elegant, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. But notice what the Lord's answer was. And the Lord said unto him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Now here's a man that may have had a legitimate physical problem. He might have stuttered. We don't know. Maybe his words dragged out a little bit, something we don't know exactly. But he had some kind of problem and maybe he couldn't speak very clearly. There's some people like that today, amen? You've got to really listen to them and try to understand what they're saying. They may have a physical problem. But God didn't say, okay, Moses, I understand you got a physical problem. You don't have to go. You don't have to lead. You don't have to share. But what God told Moses, I believe, just put it kind of in my own words, that excuse is not going to work. Right. That excuse is not going to work. He says that I will be the one. He says, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. I will help you, Moses. It's not so much the elegant speech that God is looking for. It is the power and the anointing behind the words that convicts the hearts. There's people that have shared the Word of God in pulpits that were not learned men, that were not educated men. Some of them couldn't even speak very well. But God used them, amen? And God anointed them. And the power of God was in their services because they had a willing heart to go. And when God called them, they didn't come up with the excuse, I can't. We've all tried these excuses. I just don't believe God is going to tolerate them. Amen? If God's called us to do something, then God's going to give us the strength and the ability to do it. God may call you to go to this person. And you say, I just don't think I can do this. I just don't have the ability. I just don't talk much. Well, I see all of us talk around the table, eating all the time. Amen? Praise God. Amen. I could have used that excuse because I was so bashful I didn't get up and talk in front of the people. But I'm here today. Because that excuse just doesn't work. Amen? When God calls us, we go. Amen? And my wife tried her best to dignify me a little bit and stuff. And she's working still. Praise God. And she helps me with these words. And you find out I get up here and butcher them pretty bad. But I still got to get in this pulpit. Amen? And you may not have the exact way to say it. But just say, God, I'm here. And I'll go. You've got to have the mindset that Philip had. Lord, open the door for me. Open the door. Are you praying that? Are you praying that? God, open the door. For me to go. It doesn't have to be in Mexico. It doesn't have to be in Africa. It can be right on the road you live or right ever in Walmart, wherever. You've got to see the need. Philip saw this man. He ran to him. When God reveals it to you, don't hesitate on it. Go. Go. If they reject it, they rejected God. But you've been obedient to what He says. Amen. Judges. Praise God. I won't hold you long. Judges chapter 6. You're familiar with all these I'm going to share this morning, this afternoon. In Judges chapter 6, verse 15. We're talking about Gideon and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Excuse me, let me back up. In verse 15, he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor, and Manasseh said, I am the least in my father's house. The least in my father's house. Basically, Gideon is saying, I am a nobody. I'm not up there running with the guys at the gate. I'm not up there with the men in authority, high position. My family's nothing, and I'm the least of my family. Let's look at God's response. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. That's all I need is say, God to tell me, I will be with you. That's all. We may not have the big fancy sanctuaries that a lot of churches have. We may not be busting at the seams with people. But all I need is a word from God that He tells me, I'm with you. And there's nothing that will stop us if we can have that. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to know that I'm on... that God's on my side. I want to be on God's side. Amen. Amen. I found that Jesus Christ called a roughneck fisherman, tough, leather skinned, from being out in the sun. Probably wasn't the educatedest men, but God goes and calls them while they're out there fishing. And He says, come with me. And they drop their nets. He says, I'll make you fishers of men. And God used these men. And they laid their life down for the gospel. Now what, as brother talked about at the convention, if you weren't there. Now what are you going to tell Peter when you stand before him and you say, I'm not much, there was not much to me. I believe Peter could look right back at you and say, I was nothing but a fisherman. Not belittling fishermen, but they weren't the high class people, amen? And I was crucified upside down for this gospel. And you're going to sit there and tell me that you weren't much to you and you sat in the pew. Something to think about. Praise God. Amen? I know we're not running the aisles, but I hope this sinks in, amen? A couple more. Isaiah. You're familiar with Isaiah chapter 6. Chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 6. Let's read. Let me back up to verse 5. It's all good scripture. Then said I, woe is me, for I am done. Because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Here Isaiah had a problem of going because he felt like he was undone. Felt like he was unclean. Felt like the sins of the nation was there and was upon him. And a lot of times, you know, we may feel that way too. Maybe we feel like we're just not worthy of it. I believe what we need to do, church, if you feel like that, I believe you need to do what happened in Isaiah. Now, Isaiah, the angel, the seraphims came and touched him with a coal off the altar. But I think what we need to do in our times is get in the altar. Just get in the altar. And let's be worthy of God using us and going. Amen. And let God use us. And let us be filled with His Spirit and His power. That God can use us. You may, well, there's things in my life, then get them out. Let a coal of the altar touch you and make you clean.
Amen.
So you can go. So you can go. We need every soldier in this army. Amen. Because we're in a major battle.
Come on, hallelujah.
And we don't need nobody sitting back and say, well, I'm just undone. Get right. So you can be used. Amen. And then the last one I'll share. Let's go over to the New Testament. To Acts chapter 9. A couple chapters over where we's at. Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord. Now this is, you should be familiar, but this is passage after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. And Paul immediately fasts and seeking God. He's blind. And let me back up in verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Now what's the problem here? What is his excuse? Let me read verse 14. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. So Ananias gets instruction, you go to Paul. Or Saul at this time, and you go. There's one there, he's seeking my face. You go to him. Well, Ananias, his excuse was, well, I've heard bad things about this man. He's in prison, Christians. Put him to death. He's done all these wicked things. He's an ungodly man. And you want me to go and do this to this kind of person. Now, Ananias has never seen any of this. If you'll notice, it's true, but it's to Ananias, it's just hearsay. If you'll notice in the passage, it's something that he heard. If you'll notice that in verse 13 and verse 14, Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many. Ananias hasn't even seen it, what Saul has done. He's just heard. Now what he's heard is probably true, but it's hearsay to him. So he tells the Lord, I said, this man, you want me to go do this to this man, and I've heard about this man, how wicked things he has done, and how much evil. Notice what Ananias scribes about this man. How much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he has authority to bind them that call on thy name. Ananias comes up with an excuse, Lord, I can't. Why would you want me to do this? Why would you want me to do this? Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So we find Ananias gives the excuse. And Ananias hears what Saul used to do to Christians. But Ananias is not aware of what Christ has already done to Saul. And here we find it now. God has already worked on the other end.
Amen.
All He wants Ananias to do,
amen,
is be willing to go.
That's good. Come on. Hallelujah.
Ananias looks and hears about this man called Saul and knows of all the ungodly and wicked things he has done to Christians. But here, God has already worked in Saul's hearts. He's already prepared the ground for Ananias to go and share. And a lot of times we don't see with the natural eye what God has already done on the other end. And here Ananias, if Ananias wasn't willing to go, we don't know exactly what had happened. Maybe God would have got somebody else or whatever. We know exactly how God would do. But it's the same situation with us. We look at that person, how wicked he is. We don't know what God's already dealing in that person's hearts. Convicting them. Putting them through problems, whatever it may be. Softening the ground for you to go and share the word of the Lord's. So that God can change that person and use them for the rest of their life.
Praise
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
If you want an excuse, the devil's got one for you. Have the mindset of Philip. Just a few thoughts I wanted to share about Philip. When he was called, he went. He went, church. He saw the opportunity. It didn't matter if it was in a desert place. He went. When God calls you, go. God opens the door, go. However big or small He may have you do, go. When you see the problem, address the problem. And show them the answer. Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand this afternoon. Appreciate you. Stay in. Not falling asleep. Amen. I don't know how hard you had to battle that. This is just one place of ministry right here. Just one out of hundreds. That's it. Amen. You see the opportunity, seize on it. Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You, Lord Jesus. God, for Your goodness to us, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that You just help us, God. Lord, I pray, Jesus, God. God, I ask You, Lord, God, have the mindset that Philip had, Lord, and just to go, God. And I pray, Father, that You direct us, Lord, and help us, Jesus. Oh, God, I pray, Father. God, open the doors for us, Lord. Open the doors, God. And God, and when we see the opportunity, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, Father, that we'd be willing to go, Lord. God, if it's our neighbor, God, if it's on the job, Lord, if it's a relative, God, let's pray, God, and that You'd open the door, God, and that we would go forth, Lord. Touch us, God, I pray, Father. And work, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, help us, Lord. We need You, God. We need You, God. We need You, God. Oh, God, we need Your power, Lord. We need Your power, Lord, to go forth, God. Oh, God, and touch us, Jesus. Touch us, Lord, I pray, God. Work in our lives, Lord. God, let us see the opportunities, Lord. And God, be faithful, Lord. Help us to be faithful, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name. Amen. Praise Your name, Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.